We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, a Glee podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hello, all of our mini listeners.
Hello, you people. We love you. Thanks for being here.
My name is Ian Allred, and I'm a mini Gleek.
My name is Lena Knatzer, and I am also, crazy thing, a mini Gleek, too.
What a mini coincidence.
I know.
We have so many, many things in common.
We do. Like what? We both have...
mini hair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We both have mini heads.
I know, my head is so mini.
Lena's head looks like the shrunken head guy in Beetlejuice. It's just like Lena's normal size body, uh-huh. And then she's just got like a tiny ping pong ball as a head. It's frankly unsettling. You should probably
I am kind of tall and kind of broad, so having such a tiny little head.
Just, I know, it is bizarre.
My dainty little skull.
All those pictures you see of us on Instagram, heavily photoshopped, you guys. I spend hours on each one to blow up her head so it looks like a normal size.
I'm insecure
because
about it.
It's the size of a baby's fist. And she is understandably a little insecure about it. You guys, don't make fun of it.
Hats don't fit.
It's really hard. She puts on a hat, she can't see anything.
Honestly, the opposite is true. My head is giant. It's full of knowledge. And secrets.
That's true. Mm-hmm. All right, welcome to Minnesota, everyone.
Hi.
Happy Monday.
You guys are going to have a great week. I know it.
Everyone's favorite day.
I know.
Before we get into the actual Minnesota, we do want to talk about something that was mentioned in our last episode, on our episode on special education. So we talked a little bit about Eva Perón, who is the First Lady of Argentina, because Rachel and Kurt sing Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, which is from a musical about her life. We did have an Argentinian listener reach out to us and give us more information about the disappearance of Eva Perón's body. So her body was stolen as a power move by the dictatorship that took control of Argentina from 1974 to 1983. And it is a very sensitive topic for the country. So we just wanted to apologize if we came across as insensitive in any way. We did not mean any sort of offense by that. We didn't mean to make light of that situation or of that part of Argentinian history. Thank you to that listener for reaching out to us.
Absolutely.
And educating us more on that topic.
Definitely.
We are a dumb. I don't know if you listen to this podcast. We're not experts on anything.
Absolutely.
We're very stupid.
Not. Yeah. And I appreciate that person coming to us and saying something, because I wouldn't want to make anyone feel like we were making light of that issue that is huge and nuanced and represents so much about Argentina's history. So thank you for that person to thank you to that person for letting us know that. And our heart goes out to all of that and to anyone who was made to feel hurt by that. You know, that's not our intention at all. With that being said, let's talk about special education. Let's get into the minisode, shall we? All right. Well, let's start with Reagan. Reagan sent us a voicemail, so let's listen to that voicemail.
Hi, Lena and Ian. So I'm listening to your minisode right now, and I'm having a full breakdown about Screen Rant. In the month of January alone, they wrote at least 4 separate articles about Glee. One of them is why Will was the main character and why it was Rachel. I'm so confused. 10 major flaws of the show the fans chose to ignore. You know what? That's valid. 10 Rachel Berry quotes fans won't forget. And they're also stupid. And Corey Monteith's best solos ranked. That one was from August of 2020, but still, like, what's going on? And then 10 things you forgot about the first episode. It's been 12 years. Why? It's going on a Glee binge, and I'm not quite sure why. Anyway, thank you so much. I love you guys. Bye-bye.
Screen Rant in the year of our Lord 2021. We are less than 3 months into this year. Has written 20 articles about Glee, and the majority of them are all written by Nathan Sharp, who is the guy who did the likability article. Nathan, are you okay? Nathan Sharp and Lindsay Press on Screen Rant are, you know,
if they want to come on the podcast, I would absolutely let them.
For real. We're in it with you. We have also started binging
literally
Glee again.
Hear me out. I was talking, I listened to that voicemail around my mom this morning, and I was like, it's so weird to me that people are watching Glee right now. Why? And I was like, oh, wait. I was like, why would anyone write an article about Glee right now when I literally am about, I walked 2 feet upstairs to go do my podcast about Glee. So who are we to talk? But also, what's up with Screen Rant right now?
Also, they have an article that was 5 ways the show got better as it went on and 5 ways it got worse.
Oh, okay.
And I disagree with all of them.
Okay.
I mean, that's a blanket statement. I agree with a lot of the ways it got worse. But the ways it got better, you guys, just really fast.
Let me know.
It says it's better because it has a bunch of long-distance relationships. I mean, I don't, like, hate that about it, but I wouldn't say it makes it better. It says it's worse because Sue bullies the students. Hard disagree. That's hilarious. Sorry, everyone. It says it's better. It says it's better because it shows what life after high school is like. Where? Yeah. That's not what life after high school is like at all.
I've been out of high school for like 5 years. Nothing on like Glee has happened to me.
Not even close.
Not even close.
This one I agree with. Worse, characters are sidelined. They specifically list Quinn. Agree.
Agree.
Better that it shows having a crisis about the future, which like I get, but then everything resolves so quickly that they don't actually have a real crisis about the future.
Yeah.
Worse, they talk about how Will disappears to go to DC for a couple episodes in season 4 and he's not on the show. I'm sorry, that's a positive thing. That's
why
not a way.
Why does Screen Rant love Will?
I don't know.
That is the weirdest thing to me. Not any of this. Like, honestly, everyone can have their own opinions about Glee. Like, I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't agree with the things that we say and we wouldn't agree with them. Like, that's just how you consume art and media. That makes sense. But the Will thing, like, I thought that was pretty across the board. What's going on? Will is not the main character. Get out of here. Whatever.
I mean, he kind of is the main character along with Rachel, but he's definitely not the most likable character by any means.
Number 2 likability, what's up?
I also hate this trend in headlines that was really big in like 2013 and apparently is still very big on the Screen Rant Glee section where they do the like 5 ways it got better, and then in parentheses, and 5 ways it got worse. And then they have, like, why Will is the main character, and then in parentheses, and why it was Rachel. I just hate, I don't like that trend.
Yeah.
Of like, here's the idea behind this headline, and then in parentheses, here's actually the exact opposite of that.
Yeah.
That's my Screen Rant rant.
Thank you for your Screen Rant rant.
You're welcome.
Reagan,
welcome.
Thank you for pointing that out to us. Yeah, if you guys see any more weird Screen Rant articles, send them our way. If anyone who writes for Screen Rant wants to come on and defend their case on Loving Will, DM us.
If anyone from Screen Rant wants to come on and just talk about how, why they are still so obsessed with Glee 6 years later, because we agree.
I know.
We're in that same boat.
I know. Ugh. Well, Reagan, thank you. Up next, we have an email from Liz.
Hi, Lena and Ian. First, I would like to say I love the pod. It has helped me get through school and work and has fully thrown me back into my Gleek phase for better or worse. I think my friends and family would both say for worse. Hey, but Screen Rant would say for better, Liz. Yeah, so don't literally. Worry.
5 reasons that your life's getting better, 5 reasons that it's also getting worse.
5 reasons getting back into your Gleek phase makes your life better, and 5 reasons it's actually worse. I am so
That's so stupid. I'm going to make a list like that. I'll tweet it.
All right, back to Liz. I am so happy that you guys brought up at the end of your special education episode that the title of this episode quite honestly makes no sense. And it's a little odd since it is a term that is used in schools for SEN or SPED classes, so what is that about? I was waiting to see if you guys caught something I hadn't in my approximately 20 watches of the episode over my life, or if I wasn't alone in this and you guys had the same thought. It is the only episode so far, and to be honest, maybe the whole series, where the title just does not tie in or go with the episode at all. So my question is, what would you name the episode instead? I am partial to either Magic Comb, sort of like a grilled cheeses moment, or the Santana of it all. Additionally, are there other episodes that you would rename or titles you particularly liked? Let me know your thoughts. Love you guys and kisses on both your foreheads, Liz. Lena, what are you naming Special Education?
Maybe it's just because Liz pointed it out. I don't have a better idea. I've been thinking for a while, like, what a better idea would be. And honestly, I can't find one. Not that Liz's idea isn't bad at all. I just like, truly, the Santana of it all is a great episode title. It's incredible.
That's true.
Like,
that is
I
true.
Read that and I was like, that is what the episode should be called. Like, so that's honestly, not to steal his thunder, but it's good thunder. I'm going to steal it. The Santana of it all is what I'm naming it. What about you, Ian?
I'm going with Sectionals 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, shut up. I love that.
So that's what we're... I personally like when the competition episodes are just like competition yeah. or like the city that the competition yeah, is taking totally. Place like in.
Like nationals or
yeah.
regionals. Yeah. But I guess they already had a sectionals episode.
Yeah, that's why... That's where it gets dicey.
Yeah.
That's why they say sectionals, but with the warblers this time. That's what they call it. I like concise
the one,
titles.
The one where Kurt... has to be in a competition with his friends. I don't know. That hurt. You guys, my brain sometimes does not keep up with me, I swear.
I did go through, Liz, the episode titles. Mm. And frankly, most of them I like. But I did write like ones I especially did like, and then I wrote the ones that I do not like.
Yeah,
so we're going to start. I didn't come up with new names for them. Sorry, but I just wrote down that I didn't like them. So first off, season 1, mashup. There's no mashup in that episode.
That's what it's called.
It's called No Mashup. That's the new title. Second one in season 1, which this is one of the best episodes of the show. But laryngitis does not have a single character who has laryngitis. And I get that the idea is that, like, when you get laryngitis, you lose your voice, and the Glee Club has lost its voice. But why couldn't Rachel just have laryngitis?
Absolutely.
Like, why did she have to have an inner ear infection and acute tonsillitis? Just have her have laryngitis so that it makes sense.
I know.
Season 3 premiere, Purple Piano Project. I can't put it into words. It just sounds like an after-school program. And I know that's kind of what it is in the episode,
yeah,
but I like
that about it.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Season 3, Asian F, racist
Get
title.
It out.
Don't think it's funny. Out. Season 4, Shooting Star, if you know, you know. And then finally, the finale of the entire show. I have a lot of thoughts about the finale, so stay tuned for like 2 years from now when we get to it.
Yeah.
It's called Dreams Come True. I don't like it.
Yeah. Like, just off the top of my head, the word Glees pisses me off. I know, but just like, ew, say it.
Glees.
Sorry, I threw up.
Well, now I'm embarrassed to share the titles I
love. No, do you love Glees?
I think that Glees as a plot line was dumb, but the title Glees, I was like, awful. Credit where credit is due. That's a solid pun. That is a solid pun.
How is it a pun? It's just the two names together.
That's the thing. Because Grease and Glee sound similar. It's their ship name. It's their Furt. Speaking of which, I don't like the title Furt.
What? I love Furt.
We went over this in that episode. I think it should have been Kin.
Kid, yeah.
Anyways.
Kin.
Titles I liked. I don't like this episode, but I can't deny that Brittany is an awesome name.
Oh, that rocks.
It's such a good title. Rumors, because mm-hmm. A, the album they're paying tribute to, and then B, the episode itself is about rumors.
Yeah.
On the pun department again, Saturday Night Gleaver. Sorry, everyone. I can't classic. Deal.
It's nasty.
Glees. What can I say? Oh, this one was supposed to be on the titles I didn't like. I don't like the title Props because that episode has almost nothing to do with props, and I always forget that it is the episode where Tina hits her head. Because, like, what I remember about that episode, so why is it... Oh, because she says that she feels like a prop. I take that back. I like that title now. Back to this list.
Watch, we're going to watch all these episodes later and be like, actually, that was kind of nice.
Be like, actually, you know what? Shooting Star was a very good title for that funny.
Stop. That is the worst thing.
When I saw Shooting Star for the first time, I won't get into details because we haven't gotten there yet. When I saw it for the first time, I had to pause it and Marco Polo, E.P. Tiffany, and be like, they named this episode Shooting Star?
Yeah.
I thought I was being punked.
Yeah.
Also, while we're on that topic really fast, we get like one email every 2 weeks where someone is like, what the heck is Marco Polo?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Marco Polo is a video chatting app where it's like FaceTiming someone, but you like leave them a message. So you just like leave them a video message and then they can watch it later and then respond with your own video message.
I think the tagline for it is literally like FaceTime for busy people. It's a really fun app and a really great way to communicate with people. I really enjoy it. It's like Snapchat, but it like lasts longer and...
Yeah, it's also like FaceTime for people with social anxiety, which is fun.
For sure.
This minisode is, in fact, sponsored by Marco Polo.
Oh my gosh, I wish it was. Marco Polo, if you're listening, we definitely would accept a sponsorship.
Back to episode titles I liked. I promise I'm almost done. I like the title Glee, actually. That's a fun title.
I like that
episode. I like Tina in the Sky with Diamonds is a good title. Mm-hmm. And this episode is a bad episode, don't get me wrong, but it is a great title for what happens in the episode. Puppet Master, the most infamous episode of Glee of all time, but a quality title for what happens.
Ooh, you know what? You know what's the best episode name for an episode?
What?
The Hurt Locker Part 2.
That's true.
It's the best.
All right. Those are my thoughts on episode title.
Thank you, Liz, for that question. Up next, we have a voicemail from Emily.
Hi, my name's Emily. My pronouns are she and her. I'm from the UK.
International listener!
Firstly, I want to say, Ian, you don't fantasize about your funeral. That's really weird. I was going to ask you both about what your funeral fantasies are, like when I was watching the episode before I listened. But now I can't. So, Lena, what's your funeral fantasy? Secondly, I just want to say that I'm really freaking frustrated that they didn't explore Santana getting a solo more and like maybe showing her practicing that solo or Mrs. Shu telling her, because wouldn't that add to the Rachel jealousy plotline? Like, if she knows that not only did Finn sleep with Santana, but also Santana's got her solo and is killing it, like performing so freaking well. I feel like that would add so much more depth to that plot line. So yeah, I'm frustrated. Anyway, love you both. Bye.
Bye. I agree. Why didn't we see more Santana in that episode? I feel like it's a huge deal that she has a huge solo that not only is just a solo, but a cultural reset solo. And we don't even see anything about it until it happens. That's absurd. And Emily's so right. Rachel's already very jealous of Santana for many reasons. And likewise, Santana's jealous of Rachel. Like, we have this plot line that is could write itself. Why didn't we see that? I completely agree. As for my funeral fantasy, I think about this a lot because I'm broken on the inside. I'm just kidding. But I think about here are my funeral rules. There's a dress code. The dress code is like witchy black. Everyone has to wear all black and like big hats, big hats. It'll be great. And sunglasses. And like everyone has like hankies. I also hope that people, oh gosh, I don't even know. I feel like I always think about like sad things at funerals, but I like when like the TikTok trend that's like all the fun things I want people to do at my funeral. So maybe like there's a dance party. Like a cathartic dance party, maybe. And maybe people, like, take shots off of my casket.
Well, that's much more, like, open-hearted than what Rachel's fantasy is. Rachel's fantasy is, like, and everyone thinks about how they wronged me. Oh, and no. Yours is, like, how can everyone have a good time even though I'm dead?
Well, listen. I am sure I'm the villain in a few people's stories.
Mine, specifically.
Literally. All the time. I'm like, God, Ian hates my guts. For good reason, I make your life hell. But Rachel, I think, knows that she's the villain in a lot of people's stories and, like, is cool with it. You know what I mean? I also think about, like, who would speak at my funeral a lot. I think that's, like, a thing I like to think about a lot is the people who speak at your funeral are usually not the people who are, like, your closest people. Like, it's never, I feel like in my experience, at least, like the person's spouse who's talking.
Yeah.
Or the person's parent or, child. It's always someone who's like a little bit removed, but who still like is a close friend. So I always like to pinpoint the people in my life who, if I were to die soon, who would speak.
Call them out. This is your last will and testament in podcast form, Lena. You have to let us know what you want.
Well, I mean, I don't plan on dying anytime soon. I am resilient. Would you talk at my funeral? I'm not sure. I think.
Are you asking me or are you? Is this you thinking out loud?
This is me thinking out loud. I know that if someone asked you, you would.
Okay, because I was going to say, I'm not about to be like, no, like, I don't want to.
Like, literally, I hate you, you dumb slut loser. No, I know that you would. I'm just saying, who? I think you would talk.
Okay, wow.
Are we too close?
I don't know.
No, you could tell fun stories. That's another thing I think about is, like, if I were to pass away, like, what my family would miss, like, the annoying things I do that they would miss. Like, for instance, a really fun thing I do is whenever I want one of my family members, like, food, like, a piece of their food, I'm like, oh, no, your burrito's falling. Oh, I gotta catch it. And then I just take a bite. And I know that that's, like, something that people would definitely tell at a funeral. So every time I do something like that, I'm like, they'll for sure talk about this at my funeral. I think, honestly, I've been to a few funerals that have been, like, honestly, like, very joyful. And I appreciate those ones. So that's what I would want my funeral to be like. Hopefully I don't die anytime soon and this doesn't become weird.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't plan on it. Oh, don't put that in.
No, I want to know.
I don't want anyone to feel bad. Content warning, we talk about Lena dying a lot. I don't know why. Well, hell, Emily, thank you so much for that question. It was lots of fun. Emily also sent us a voicemail about how they totally thought that the Ava Perone arm thing was a boner joke, and I thought that was so funny.
That like Blaine having his like hand raise up and then pushing it down was supposed was to be like a euphemism for
so
like
funny
him getting a little too excited about Kurt Solo.
I know, I do that all the time. Every time I see anything like particularly steamy. Emily, thank you so much for your question. Thank you for voicemailing us. Up next, we have an email from Raven.
Hi, Ian and Lena. My name's Raven, and I use she, her pronouns. I absolutely love your podcast. I haven't been watching Glee as much as I used to lately, but I make sure to listen to the podcast every week, and you guys really do a great job, and I agree with the majority of your opinions. It was nice seeing, or hearing, maybe more accurate, other people who can't stand Rocky Horror Glee Show. It's a garbage fire of an episode.
Agreed.
I'm writing today because I have some thoughts about Puck as a character, and I'm interested in your opinion on them. I should preface this by saying that as a person, Noah Puckerman is garbage. He's creepy, he's a predator, he's rude, and overall just kind of sucks. That being said, I think he is one of the most interesting characters on the show, other than Quinn and maybe Santana. He's a person who very much feels like he has this unfortunate destiny to be like his dad, and he tries, and usually fails, to try and correct that. The way he acts in season one after Quinn gets pregnant is really interesting because he really is trying his best to be there for her in the way he knows. I can't stand his relationship with Quinn, but it is kind of interesting to me, and I could probably write an essay about it. I also really like his dynamic with Rachel because even though he is obviously creepy and just an overall bad dude, I think it's interesting to see a softer side with her. I think he's a really good example of a bad person who's trying to be better but doesn't know how. Also, one question I'd be curious about. How have your opinions on the characters changed over time? For instance, when I first watched the show when I was like 7 or 8, Finn was my favorite character, but now I can't stand the guy, and Quinn is my favorite. Sorry, this was really long, so I hope there aren't any embarrassing typos. Love you guys, Raven. P.S. I was very happy to hear that you guys also read Quinn as queer. I think that that interpretation makes her even more interesting as a character, honestly. I fully believe she is a lesbian, and one time I watched through the show and just wrote down anything that felt like, for lack of a better word, proof of that. And there was a lot. That girl is not into men in any way, and as you guys have already pointed out, is definitely into women.
Yep.
I agree with what you said about Puck. I think that Puck has... I think it's very... Well, because I did, like, I knew people like Puck growing up. Mm-hmm. I knew people who were kind of like ne'er-do-wells, you know?
Yeah.
And they did come from bad family situations, and it was like a learned behavior. And I saw a lot of them, like what happens with Puck, that they would see stuff in their parents, like they would see things that they were doing that would remind them of their parents, and it would freak them out.
Yeah.
And so I do really like that aspect of Puck. I totally agree with you. And I think that Puck has a very... interesting trajectory as a character, specifically the second half of season three. I think that Puck gets a very interesting arc that we will get into when we get there. One of my issues with Puck is that the writers keep wanting to still make the same jokes with him.
Absolutely.
And so they will give him jokes that season one Puck would say, but now it's like season three and four. And it's like, but aren't we past this? Like, once again, these writers just don't believe in committing to character development. And so, like, especially, I mean, I won't get into specifics because we haven't gotten there, but Puck just has this, like, such a beautiful arc in season three. And then he pops up in season four, and it's kind of like that arc never happened. Mm-hmm. And he's just, like, old, smarmy, gross Puck again.
Yeah.
And it really bums me out.
Definitely. Yeah. And it's interesting because I totally get the sense from the show writers that one of their favorite characters to write for is Puck. And you would think they would handle him with a little more care. I don't know. Whatever.
All right. Have you had big character opinion changes?
I have. I mean, a classic Rachel. We've talked a lot about how, like, in just our analysis of Rachel, like... how I just love her in season one, and I just think she is given a really bad rap and then becomes insufferable, you know. I don't know. And especially I grew up loving Rachel. I just like thought Rachel was the best and I wanted to be Rachel. And then like in this rewatch, like seeing her true like downfall and then watching episodes later and like just seeing Rachel get everything she's ever wanted ever. I'm like, this is so not well deserved. And I did not feel that way when I was watching the show at first. I know a lot of people don't like this about me, but I love Finn. I think Finn is great. I think, especially at season one, Finn is just a lovely character that I love to see succeed. I know he does like really shitty stuff later, and we will talk about that, no doubt. But I also love Tina. Like, I love Tina so much. And in the first watch through when I was a teenager, I never thought twice about Tina. And that's because I think the writers don't think twice about Tina. And just, like, the things that I see of Tina now, I just love so much. I don't know. So that, what about you?
I don't have any major ones. My biggest ones would be, like, Will as a kid I didn't like. Like, I wasn't like, wow, more Will content. But I was just kind of like, yeah, he's the teacher. And now I'm like, he sucks.
He sucks,
And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, I was very, like, I didn't have strong feelings towards Emma. I was just kind of like, she's on this show.
We love And now Emma.
I just, and I still have issues with how she's written. Mm-hmm. But Jemma Mays does such a good job I'm always like, let's get more Emma content.
She's
like, get her on the show more.
Oh my God. Love.
Those would be my two. Beyond that, I have like some characters where like my perspective shifted a little, but there's nothing dramatic.
For sure. Well, heck. Raven, thank you so much for your message and thank you for your question.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Up next, we have a voicemail from Lucas.
Hey guys, it's Lucas again. He, him. So I think I just discovered a huge plot hole in Glee that I don't think many people have talked about. So like by now, we've just like accepted the fact that during competitions, the Glee clubs just don't use microphones. Like, I don't think we've ever seen a performance where they have a wireless mic or, like, a handheld mic. And we've just, like, accepted that as the norm that, like, in the Glee universe, no matter where the audience is sitting, they can just hear them singing perfectly. And we just kind of accepted that. But, like, now in Valerie, Santana has, like, a handheld microphone. Like, is it a prop? Or is it, like, if it's a regular microphone, why didn't Forbrevens or the Warblers use a microphone? It just hurts my brain thinking about it. So what are your thoughts on it? And does it annoy you just as much as it annoys me? Okay, bye.
Short answer, yeah.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
I know. Because is it a prop? Also, I remember, like, a random mic stand comes out for her, like, for 20 seconds. Like, not even 20 seconds, like, 10 seconds. Like, what is that for? Is it just a prop thing? I can't tell.
I wonder because, frankly, like, I do prefer to have a mic because I never know what to, like, do while I'm singing. And so to, like, have a mic, you feel more comfortable. So I wonder if it was, like, Naira Vero just wanted to have a mic.
Maybe.
I don't
Honestly,
know.
I wouldn't put it past it. I feel like that's something that happens in, like, singing stuff. I don't know what to call that. But, like, people will ask, like, would you like a microphone? And you can say yes or no. So I wouldn't put it past them. But also, in the world, Lucas is right. In the world of this, we have established that, like, these competitions don't use microphones.
Santana's invisible lavalier mic, because they do all have mics, they're just invisible, you guys.
Yeah.
Her invisible lavalier mic, they're doing Time of My Life, and it fell off. And she was like, oh, you guys, it fell, and I can't find it because it's invisible. How am I supposed to pick it up again? And so she was like looking at the stage manager, and she was like, handheld. So they're like, oh, crap. And they like threw out a handheld mic. That's what happened.
Uh-huh. And That's then Tina canon. Was like, oh, my gosh, the mic stand's right there. That would be a perfect moment. So she just like was thinking on her feet.
Yeah, there it is.
It is weird, though. And it is something that happens more often in the show as we go on, is they start using handheld mics more. And I wonder if that's just because...
But do they use it in competition again?
I'm sure. Should we Google it, or should we never Google anything in our lives?
I think we should wait until the final competition episode in season 6, and then we can definitively say.
Well, I know they use microphones in Hurt Locker Part 2. I know.
Oh, for
all of them.
Invitationals.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. God, Lucas, you broke rocks. The universe.
But honestly, the questions we should be asking, because if this world is going to set up rules, follow them. God,
do they have superhuman projecting abilities or not, writers?
Riddle me this, Ryan.
All right. Thank you for your message, Lucas.
Thank you. And up next, we have an email from Sion.
Hey, Lena and Ian. My name is Sion. I'm 18 years old. And my pronouns are she, her. I'm from New Jersey, so unfortunately, I don't get the international listener jingle, even though it is always in my head. I just want to start off by saying I love you guys. I discovered your podcast from the TikTok about Ian expressing his strong opinions about people on Glee having private conversations in public.
Good ones.
From there, I knew I had to listen. So I was listening to your special education episode just now, and first off, we need more Shane and Vicky on the podcast. This dynamic is incredible. You're all so funny. I think it was Vicky who brought up the point that Santana just wanted to feel seen and loved because Brittany was in a relationship with Artie. I agree with that because I remember in the third episode where Santana helps Finn with his tie and she asks him to dump Rachel so they can be together. Santana obviously does not like Finn, but I think she just wanted to be with someone since Brittany was in a relationship, and also at this point of the show, she didn't want to acknowledge her feelings for Brittany. I also think that that's why she exposed her and Finn, besides the fact that Rachel was being insufferable and she wanted to hurt her. Also, one more thing. I have something to confess. Rachel does get on my nerves a lot, but me and her are on the same page with the funeral thing. I don't really fantasize, but I do think about what my funeral would be like and who would feel compelled enough to do a speech. Also, who would feel regretful about how they treated me. At this point in my life, I do not have a Finn to throw himself across my casket in agony, but I hope by the time that I die, I will.
I love that.
Hopefully you guys don't think I'm crazy now.
No.
But anyway, those are all my Glee thoughts. Thanks again for being my best friends in my head. Sion.
I completely agree with all that.
Yes. Thank you, Sion.
Definitely. Well, heck, what's more to say with that other than, yeah, retweet. I definitely agree. Well, heck. Up next, we have a voicemail from Katie.
Hi, guys. It's Katie from Ohio. She, her. So I just wanted to start off by saying that I love your podcast so much. It really gives me a lot of joy, especially during my second semester of my senior year of college. But anyways, I was just kind of wondering and thinking about how, you know, you guys cast all of the Glee characters into different shows like all the time. But I'm honestly surprised that either no one has asked you or you guys just haven't decided to tackle this mountain of a challenge yet of casting them in Seussical. I just feel like you guys would have a lot of thoughts on this, and honestly, my only thought on that is that Mike Chang would be an incredible Cat in the Hat. So yeah, I just kind of want to hear your guys' thoughts on it, whether you think your cast or Ryan Murphy's cast or whatever. But yeah, all right, love you guys.
Katie, last semester of college is so terrible. I literally this is not an exaggeration. Mm-hmm. About 2 times a week, I would go to a friend and be like, should I drop out? And they would be like, Ian, you literally are graduating in 3 weeks. And mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, but is it worth it?
No.
It is. Hey, stay in school, everyone.
Don't do it. I hate school. I've got such a bad attitude about school. Katie, my heart goes out to you. I know you can do it. I know you can. And hear me out. We got this message and I got so excited and I was like, why haven't we done this yet? And granted, I don't think anyone on the planet loves Seussical as much as Ian and I. So no one has asked us to. So Katie, thank you so much for asking. I'm so excited to do this. We have lots of thoughts.
She also titled that message, "Oh, the things you can Gleek."
It's so good.
All right, let's hit it.
All right. Well, let's start with the cat. Cat in the Hat. The part that Ian should play.
Well,
Ian,
thank you.
Who are you casting as the cat?
I went with Katie. I like Mike Chang as a cat.
Me
I think it's
too.
A very good call.
I think you'd be the best. I agree. Katie said that and I was like, oh, duh. Mike Chang is the cat? Oh, I love him. Woof. He's the best.
All right. Up next, we got JoJo. We'll just give like the briefest synopsis of who these characters are. JoJo is like a younger boy. Like he's not an adult yet. And he feels a lot of
Whoville's son / yes. child.
And he feels a lot of pressure to like grow up and like stop doing kid things and stop like relying on your imagination and blah, blah, blah. You guys, it's a show for kids.
And me.
Anyways, so I said that JoJo would be Kurt.
I said the same thing. Oh my gosh, if we have all the same, I'll die.
All right, well, cool? Who do you have for Horton?
Should we say it at the same time?
Okay.
One, two, three.
Finn. I just think Finn has like such a sweetness to him that Horton does.
I agree.
And he's like so awkward.
He's got that, like, gentle giant energy.
Exactly. Like he's so big, but he's so awkward, which is Horton.
Perfect. I love that. Okay, well, who do you have for Gertrude? Should we do the same thing?
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Tina! She's soft-spoken.
She
feels overlooked. She feels like she's not as good. She's not good enough.
Yes, that's perfect.
Tina Cohn-Chang. Okay. Here we go.
Maisie LaBird. One, two, three.
Santana!
Yes! This is the best.
The fact that we are so much more excited about this than anyone else, our listeners are going to be like, it's Susicole. Move
crying.
On.
That is the best news. Okay.
Santana would kill it as Maisie. You know who else would kill it as Maisie? Me. You. I will die on this hill. I would be such a good Maisie.
You would. Okay. Up next, Sour Kangaroo. We gotta be the same on
Come
this
on.
One. 1, 2, 3.
Mercedes! Come on!
Okay. This is where I think we might get a little dicey.
I agree. Here on out, it gets weird.
I cannot believe we have the exact same cast.
Honestly,
I knew we would. How did I know?
It's meant to be. Someone get Ryan Murphy on the
phone.
Up.
That was so exciting. My gosh, my heart. Okay. Up next, we have the general.
Are we doing it? Let's do it. I have a hot take for the general, so I'm excited.
Okay, I have a cool take, I feel like.
Okay.
A pretty neutral, like...
A lukewarm take? Great.
Not even lukewarm. Like, room temp.
Okay.
1, 2, 3.
Rachel Tug. Berry.
Shut your mouth, that's great.
I thought you were going to tell me that was a bad take, and I was like,
no,
excuse
why would I say
me.
That?
All
no,
right,
why would I say that?
Give me your puck. Give me your puck.
Well, he ends up in the military later.
That's true.
He also, I think, has that like kind of vibe that like would yell at people.
That's accurate.
You know, tell me about your racial take. Tell me about that.
I mean, the general is loud and overbearing. Have you met Rachel Berry? Also, the image.
I have.
The image of like short little Leah Michelle like yelling at the army and just like being so loud and intense would be hysterical. And I also
like Kurt as JoJo, like just like looking up at him screaming.
Mm-hmm. And like I also do think that Rachel is talented, so I don't want to like not cast her. Mm-hmm. And so I thought she'd be funny as the general, so there she is.
Cool, I love that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, who are your bird girls?
I have one bird girl.
Okay.
And then I said it would be Quinn plus some Cheerios. I really didn't know who to put here. Who did you put?
Okay,
did you put
Azumi
and Karofsky?
My bird girls, I have two different options. It's Quinn and Brittany for sure are bird girls. The third bird girl is either Azumi Adams.
Shut up, I love that.
Or it's Lauren Zices, and And cool. Quinn and Brittany are like what you think of when you think of the Bird Girls, that they're like really into it and excited and like really into everything Maisie does.
Oh yeah, but Lauren is like the one who's like not having it.
And the one who's like an attitude about this it. Is straight it. Up stupid. Like, why are we doing this?
I love that.
Yeah.
That would make sense to like a school, like a high school production of Seussical. Like there's always some kid that's like, oh, why the f- are we doing Seussical? And then other kids like us who are crying about it every day. Say,
and that one kid is literally everyone else. And then we are the two that are like, we're doing Seussical.
Seussical is the best. It's a beautiful story of adoption. I think Seussical rocks. I can go on for hours. My dissertation should be on Seussical. I swear to God.
All right. Who do you have as Mr. Mayor?
I have Sam as the mayor.
Ooh, that's fun.
Yeah, who do you have the mayor?
I have Artie Abrams as the mayor.
Oh, he'd be a great. Oh, I like that.
All right, who do you have for Mrs. Mayor?
I have Rachel.
I thought about Rachel for that.
Yeah.
I have Mrs. Mayor is either Quinn or it's Lauren. And that Lauren is like Lauren would be very deadpan.
Mayor's wife.
Like Lauren and Artie as like Mr. that. And Mrs. Mayor. Oh, that'd be
that's great.
So fun.
Dude, I think the mayors are so fun.
And can you imagine like Artie like, I'm the mayor. And then Lauren, I'm his wife.
Yeah,
like
so, so
over it.
Like, wait, who's here? Me? Who's here?
And just the image of Lauren Zizes in Seussical and her hating everything about it is so, like, her in the middle of Whoville and she does not want to be there is very funny to me.
So fun. Especially, like, her as a Who would be so funny because the Whos are just, like, so, like
so peppy
like,
and
so. Peppy and excited to be there.
Yeah.
And like you, I think naturally, I think would put like her energy more in the, like the, in
jungle.
The animals, in the jungle, but like putting her as a Who, like shaking it that up. And the dynamic of seeing like a Sam, like just be like, so like excited to be the mayor.
And then his wife is like, I hate like, where we live. So I hate our job. Yeah, everything about this is terrible.
Totally. That's so precious. I love that. Okay.
All right.
Up next, we have the Wickersham brothers. Who do you have as the Wickersham brothers?
Okay. I put Puck and Sam and then I put Karofsky, but I said, but actually they're resurrecting Matt Rutherford and he's the third Wickersham. And then he is leaving again.
Cool. I just have Azemio and Karofsky. I think they are the Wickersham brothers. Just like in Glee, they are the Wickersham
That's
brothers.
Accurate. Well,
that's
you guys...
the funniest thing that's ever happened to us ever. I can't wait to listen to that every single day for the rest of my life, us discovering that we have the exact same cast for Seussical. Well, Katie, thank you so much for being the first person to ask us to chat about our favorite show, Seussical.
Yeah, we've been dropping enough hints about it.
I know.
Goodness.
Finally, someone picked up on it. My God. Just kidding. But thank you so much, Katie. Up next, we have an email from Jonathan.
Hey, guys. My name's Jonathan. My pronouns are he, him, and I'm from the UK.
International listener!
I absolutely love the podcast, and you two have converted me to liking Rachel in season one, which I never thought I'd say. Booyah!
We did it. We got you, Jonathan.
I've just finished listening to the special education episode, however, and I have some thoughts about Rachel. In season one, I think what is so great about Rachel is that she's experiencing real friends for the first time and is coming to terms with being seen not just for her voice. While she can be a bit annoying, you see her start to learn and experience a group of friends, and there's some great moments with that. For example, when she agrees that Mercedes should do the solo for sectionals. Mm-hmm. By this point in season two, though, she comes across as even more rude and self-centered, and I think it's such an odd character choice. Why is she so rude to Quinn and Sam when she barely knows Sam, and Quinn has barely spoken to her all season?
That's not true. They're girlfriends. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Jonathan.
She spends the whole week complaining that they're going to lose because they're singing and she's not, and the show kind of expects us to see it as they're both in the wrong when another character defends themselves instead of letting Rachel drag them down. The power dynamics in the club and school are really confusing, to be honest. Like, are Quinn, Santana, and Brittany still popular? And if they are, then how is Glee Club so far down the social hierarchy? The same with the football players. However, with what's shown, it can't be too hard to believe that most of the Glee Club members are at the same level, so I just don't know why they make Rachel dislike pretty much everyone other than Kurt and Finn. I don't think this episode by itself is necessarily the worst with Rachel, however, in my rewatch, this is the first time I saw the Rachel that I dislike again. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be so bad if she didn't do the Will Schuster story of having to learn the same lesson each week after miraculously forgetting it. She has a storyline again and again, and I think it's when she's at her worst. Sorry for all the rambling, but I hope you can see where I'm coming from. Your podcast is amazing and really changed my thoughts about Rachel, and I'm more sad than anything about her losing these qualities that I just begun to appreciate so much. All the best, Jonathan. Jonathan, I agree completely. I still, hear me out, I still love Rachel. I still think she's very funny. But like, season one Rachel is so funny, but then also like really pulls at my heartstrings. Like, I feel so deeply for her, and you can see like just how badly she is longing for connection, but she doesn't know how to get it. And then seasons two and three Rachel, I think, is so funny. Like, I lose that emotional connection with the character, and I just view her as comedic. And it is a shame, like you said, that she has, like, she has such a heart in season one, and she has these moments where she learns and lets other people in, and then they just fall by the wayside, and it is such a shame.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. There it is.
Well, thank you, Jonathan. Up next, we have a voicemail from Dana.
Bringing us home.
Bringing us home. Thank you, Dana, for bringing us home.
Hi, Ken and Barbie. It's Dana. We are talking about Evita in this episode, obviously. And I, to be honest, don't know a lot about Evita. But when this episode came out, and for a lot of season two, actually, I was not old enough to stay up late enough to watch Glee. So my parents would record the episodes live off TV, and my dad would burn them onto discs so that I could watch them over and over again. And he would always, like, obviously put a name on the disc so we knew what episode it was, but I don't think he always knew the actual name of the episode. And so this one, he literally just labeled the disc Evita. And I brought it to my mum, and I was like, what does this mean? Why did he call it Evita? What is that? And she had to explain to me that the song that they sing in the episode, Don't Cry For Me Argentina, is from Evita. So that's really all I know about Evita and what you guys talked about in the episode. So thank you for educating me. Anyway, that's all. Thanks. Bye.
So going back to Liz, I am in fact going to change my new title. Special Education is now called Evita.
Perfect. I love that. That story is so cute. I was listening to a bunch of the voicemails around my mom this morning, and we both like cooed over that story so much. We just think that is the most adorable thing, that your parents would burn them on a DVDs. That's so sweet. Well, heck, that was our mini-sode. Thank you all for being here.
Except lots for the relative pitch game that you forget about every week.
Why do I do that?
That's almost the end of our mini-sode.
Almost. Why do I do that?
All right. Lena, do you want to go first?
I'd love to go first. Okay. What should I sing this week?
You are going to do... because you said Dog Days was your favorite number, so I'll give you Dog Days.
Did I?
You did. You said it was your favorite number. You can do Valor if you want. Oh, you pick between
those
two.
No. Either way. No, that's fine. It starts, happiness hit home like a train on a track. So happiness hit home.
Okay, so you think it's a D.
Okay, let's...
That's the correct key!
Yeah! That weren't the correct words. Weren't the correct words, but correct notes. Wow.
I'll allow
it. Why am I so great? I am amazing. Can't wait for you to tell that story at my funeral. All right, Ian. Just kidding.
Everyone's crying, and I'm like, and she said it was happiness, it comes.
I think I said hit home. I don't even know what I was saying. I love that song. I just don't... Florence, you know?
Florence doesn't have amazing diction. Love her to death. She's very talented.
That's coming from two Florence and the Machine stands. Okay. Ian, I'd like you to sing... you should sing Valerie.
All right. Oh, gosh.
Well, sometimes I go out by myself.
That's what I think it is.
Well,
all right.
So I think it's, well, sometimes, C-D-F.
C-D-F.
I might be wrong.
Oh, you might be right. Well, sometimes.
I was right!
Yeah!
Oh my gosh!
Can you tell we have BFAs? I'm dancing.
All right.
Well, That's our mini-sode, you guys.
Officially.
Officially. I will not remember the game next week. It's a new thing. My mind's got to take some time to catch up.
We're adding another bit into the mini-sode, where not only do we play the relative pitch game, but we also forget that we're supposed to play the relative pitch game.
I also always, every week that I say our social medias, I always say them wrong. I'm always like, I don't know. I'm just cute and quirky like that, you know? Well, thank you for being here. Ian, go ahead and say our social medias for me.
If you want to follow us on Instagram and TikTok, we're at @recoveringgleek_podcast. Our Twitter's @recoveringgleek. Our episode on A Very Glee Christmas comes out on Wednesday. Yay! With some Very Glee special guests.
You guys, it's going to be so fun.
We did, in fact, guest on another podcast called Typecasting Pop Culture by the Numbers, where they try to type a bunch of fictional characters on the Enneagram, and we guest starred on 3 of their episodes about Glee. The first one comes out tomorrow, and then they will just continue to come out every week. And then the hosts of that podcast, Lucas and Marjana too, are going to be talking about A Very Glee Christmas with us on a Wednesday, so check it out. If you have thoughts to send us, you can send them to us on anchor.fm/recoveringgleek, or that's for voicemails, or you can email us recoveringgleek@gmail.com. Thank you guys for listening.
I hope you listen to Typecasting. Ian's kind of mean.
Yeah, I get too into it, and then I felt really bad, and I called Lena afterwards and I said, was I a major asshole? I feel bad.
And I said, well, a little. But like, you were talking about Rachel. And listen, nobody loves Rachel like you do. So I think everything you said was fairly warranted. You just got very intense. We all still love you.
All right.
You just care so much. We love that about you.
Well, as Rachel says, I want everything too much.
Yeah. And there's nothing ironic about show choir.
I've been known to say that. I've also been known to say it wasn't an active crack house. That is, in fact, my catchphrase.
You're so funny. I love you.
Aw, thank you.
Well, this episode's been a hoot and a half. Love you guys. I hope you have a great week. We have a good rest of your day. If you're finishing up your senior year of college right now, don't drop out.
For real, you guys. It sucks, but don't do it.
It really sucks. Please don't drop out of college. We love you guys. I hope you have a good day. Here's a kiss on your forehead. All the things you can gleek. All the things you can gleek when you think about glee.
Glink of a bird.
Do it.
Gleek of a bird who flies off on a spree.
Glink of a kangaroo.
Glink of a general ready for war. All right, bye everyone.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok @recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.